Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that we'll consider this morning comes from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, a portion of our Gospel reading for today, beginning there in the 18th verse. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Thus far our text. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, not long ago I read a rather disturbing allegory called The Parable of the Fishless Fisherman. It reads like this. There was once a group who called themselves fishermen, and lo, there were many fish in the waters all around. In fact, the whole area was surrounded by streams and lakes filled with fish, and the fish were hungry. Year after year, these who called themselves fishermen met in meetings and talked about their call to fish. They talked about the abundance of fish and how they might go about fishing. Continually, they searched for new and better definitions of fishing. They sponsored costly nationwide meetings to discuss fishing and promote fishing and to hear about all the ways of fishing. These fishermen built large, beautiful buildings called fishing headquarters. Their plea was that everyone should be a fisherman and every fisherman should fish. One thing only they didn't do. They didn't fish. They never actually went fishing themselves. The point of that parable is not very difficult to glean, is it? Every single Christian, every believer in Jesus is called to be his disciple, a fisher of men. And that includes you and me as well. So it's good for us not only to thoroughly understand what it means to be God's fisherman, but also to actually get out and do it, to put that knowledge to practical use in our daily lives. And our text for today will help us do that. In the words of our theme, Jesus calls you to go fishing. It's a universal call. It is a call that's extremely demanding, but it is also a call that is supremely rewarding. This Epiphany season, as I mentioned, is a time of beginnings. Obviously, it's the beginning of a new calendar year, but it's also a time when we focus on the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. As I said, his baptism by John in the Jordan River, his revelation to the Gentiles, and the calling of the first disciples. It's no accident that the calling of Peter and Andrew and James and John in our text for today is one of the classic texts for the second Sunday after Epiphany. Jesus called these disciples to go fishing. And that's kind of interesting because that's what their profession had been. They were professional fishermen there on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus, walking by the shore of the sea, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus wasn't really offering them a similar job. Their new calling would be completely different. Instead of using boats and nets to catch fish, now they would use the gospel, the good news that in Christ a Savior can be found. That good news of salvation would be what they'd use to catch souls of sinners for the kingdom of God. Peter and Andrew responded to Jesus' call and left their nets and followed him. Jesus moved down the shoreline and the scene was repeated, extended that call to a couple more fishermen, James and John. "Come," Jesus said, "follow me and be fishers of men." Well, about at this point, you might be asking yourself, that's all very interesting, but what does it have to do with me? I'm certainly no St. Peter or St. Andrew. It's not my job to go fishing for men. That's what we've got pastors for. But if that's what you think about evangelism, then the Lord has news for you. You all are to be fishers of men. You know what universal conscription is? That's when everybody is drafted into the army of a nation. The United States has never had universal conscription, but there are a few countries that have it. One of them is Israel. In the modern state of Israel, every young person is obligated to do a certain number of months military training. And there's one other exception as well, the kingdom of God. For in the kingdom of God, too, there is universal subscription. For Christ's call to be fishers of men is a universal call. It applies to every single believer without exception, and that includes you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your only Savior from sin? Because if God has put that faith in your heart, then you already have what it takes to be a fisher of men. You don't have to go to school and study theology. You don't have to complete 4 years of college and 3 years of seminary. If you have faith in Jesus, you've already got what it takes. You already have the prerequisites for a missionary, a fisher of men. You Christians sitting in the congregation, don't underestimate yourselves. The Bible says that you are a very special people, merely by virtue of the faith God has given you. Peter is speaking to all believers when he says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people." And with what purpose in your life? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We preachers haven't got a monopoly on the gospel. You lay people can talk about Jesus Christ as well as or better than the pastor just sitting across the kitchen table over a cup of coffee talking to somebody who's a friend. You can proclaim salvation through faith in Jesus Christ as well as or better than the pastor when you're speaking to your neighbor across the back fence. Not only is it something you can do, it's something you're called to do. God has called you as a believer to be a fisher of men. It's a universal call that applies to all Christians. I hope you're not too shocked when I tell you that the job of spreading the gospel is just as much yours as it is mine. Today, Jesus is calling you to be his fisherman. And make no mistake about it, it is a very demanding call. Maybe I've convinced you that this call is a universal call, that it applies to you too, that you need to be a fisher of men. That's fine. But don't think that this is a call that you can slough off, that you can accomplish quickly and easily, that it'll take no sacrifice. That's not true at all. Following Christ and being his fisherman is far more demanding than any other job you'll ever do. Consider these four men in our text for today. No two ways about it. Jesus' call to them involved a lot of sacrifice on their part. By obeying the call to become God's fishermen, they left quite a bit behind, didn't they? Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And what did they do? Our text says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. They gave up a thriving business in order to follow Jesus. They didn't even take the time to sell their nets or their boats. They just left them there and followed the Lord immediately. Money was not their master. Jesus was their master. Nor do we dare let money become our master either. And that's a very tall order in this day and age, isn't it? Because perhaps more than any other country on earth, or any other society in the history of the world, America bows down and worships money. Your job, your income, your financial responsibilities, your retirement. Now, all those things are important, yes, but you dare never allow them to stand between you and your service to Christ. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." The call to discipleship and the call to be God's fisherman is a demanding one, and one of its demands is this: that nothing can come before Jesus, not even money. Some things are even harder to leave behind than financial considerations when you become God's fisherman, like loved ones. And yes, as difficult as it may be, it sometimes does come down to that. Look at James and John. They too said goodbye to their nets and their business. But that's not all. Jesus saw two other brothers, James and the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Were these two brothers saying goodbye to their father forever? We don't know that. Zebedee himself may have been a Christian. We're just not told in Scripture. But one thing we do know, believing Christians have sometimes been forced to make the very difficult choice between following the wishes of their loved ones and following their Savior. We have in our congregation a number of people who went through the split back in the early 1960s, people who were called upon to make that very difficult decision, who had to leave friends and families behind when it became necessary to leave a false teaching church body. It's not very pleasant. Faithfulness to our Savior and his word must come first, however, because without him, we have nothing. The Savior put it bluntly, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Our call as Jesus' disciples, as his fishermen, is a very demanding call. It requires a lot of dedication, sacrifice, and hard work. Frankly, none of us have lived up to those demands. If you're like me, you probably have a pretty acute sense of shame in how far short you have fallen in God's demands and how poor a fisherman you sometimes have been. Fumbled words, missed opportunities to speak to people about our faith. But don't despair. There's a bright side as well. For not only is the call to be Jesus' fisherman a very demanding call, it is also a supremely rewarding call. Jesus is calling you today, and in the face of this call, it's very natural for you to feel weak and inadequate. A parallel text to our one for today shows us the Apostle Peter falling down at Jesus' feet in a terror and saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." But Jesus didn't depart from Peter, did he? Rather, he said, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And that's the same thing Jesus says to you today. Don't be afraid. Your sins will not disqualify you from being my disciple, my fisherman, because I have already put away your sins. In his eternal love for us weak, sinful human beings, Jesus came to earth to be our high priest and the sacrifice that the high priest offered. He was the Lamb of God who laid down his life for sinners such as you and me. Isaiah hit the nail on the head in his 53rd chapter when he said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So don't be afraid. If your sins are great, be of good cheer, for God's mercy is even greater. Scripture says, "Where sin did abound, there grace did much more abound." Jesus lived a perfectly righteous life, and why? So that he might have the joy of laying that perfect righteousness at your feet. It's his gift to you, so take it. Be happy that through Christ you can call that perfect righteousness your very own and stand before God justified. Jesus died a painful, drawn-out death on the cross. And why? So that he might atone for all of your sins. Such an overwhelming and undeserved love for us sinners makes absolutely no logical sense at all. But there it is. It's too good to be true. Nevertheless, Scripture says it is true. The ransom price you needed to get loose from sin and hell forever has been paid. It's free, and it's for you. Paul says, "God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." Recently in confirmation class, we were talking about how Armistice Day is a great analogy of the gospel. On November 11th, 1918, the worst war the world had ever seen to that point came to an end. By the time Germany surrendered to the Allied armies, 65 million men had fought in that war, and 10 million of them had died. But after four long years of slaughter, the Great War was over. But the front was 450 miles long, and communication was poor. So they sent runners with the news. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be one of those runners? What if it was your job to carry this message of peace to your comrades? The war is over. You're not going to die. You can go home in peace to your loved ones now. Well, guess what? That is your job as a Christian. Your job is to carry to your brothers and sisters, your fellow sinners, the good news of peace through Christ. The war is over. Satan is defeated, and our heavenly home, through faith in Christ, stands open to receive us right now. We are called to be God's fishermen, and that sweet gospel is the net that we use to draw ever more people into the kingdom of God. So let's get going. Let's not just talk about it. Let's do it. From one angler to another, let's go fishing. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise.